Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Let us kneel as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love and your mercy, for bringing us in this morning to worship your name. We're so thankful for being here. Thank you for so many people who can come to gather and to lift your name on high. We pray that your Holy Spirit may be here with us in this morning. Help us enjoy your presence. Help us feel closer to you. And please forgive our sins. And thank you for providing salvation for us. Be with Pastor Don as he speaks to us. May his words be your words, and may we be touched by it, O Lord. Please bless Valley View, bless every member, every friend that's visiting with us today, and may we just enjoy our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Welcome, church. That was great. That music was great. Now, we have 10 minutes, but I'm going to tell you right now, the food will keep warm. Yes. And I want to say, Selena, your son left his bottle up here, was taking this, and you swapped it back. I saw that. All the visitors, I want your attention. In the pew is a card. If you take that card out, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Take the card out, and on the back side is a place for your name, address, city, state. You can fill that in, phone number, email. And then on the front side, there's a little box that says, transfer my membership. We'd love to have all of you. You're great. Love it. Love it. Life-saving dads. Why such a title for Father's Day? Because without our dads, you know, a lot of us wouldn't have survived. Seriously. You know? And for those, unfortunately, who did not have a good father, and there are a few, I know, our duty is to forgive them. Forgive them. You know? And look to the Father in heaven, because the Father in heaven has really provided everything for us. We can be very thankful to the Father in heaven. So if what I have to say doesn't fit your earthly dad, look at your heavenly Father, because he fits everything that is good. And it's warm. It's great. Now, also, I just want to say that I'm wearing a different kind of tie today. I'm wearing this tie. It's, you know, kind of weird a little bit, I think. But, you know, it was in style years and years and years ago. Matter of fact, about when I was 20. Yeah. My mom had a light stroke, and she was kind of blind. She wasn't feeling too good. And it was my birthday, and my mom always went out and bought birthday gifts for us kids, always. But she couldn't. And so my dad went and bought this tie for my birthday. So I'm wearing it in honor of him. Okay? Yeah. So, life-saving dads, we're going to have some fun today, some good stories. You heard the scriptures, Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do, you know. Honor your dad, your father, and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Remember that. If you honor your dad and mom, this is a promise. And this is a promise. Here it is. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well with you. Man, that's good right there for me. Things will go well with you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Yeah, 83 is not that bad. Long life on the earth. Mark Twain says, boy, when I was a boy of 14 years, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, first grade teacher asked the class one day, what is Father's Day? One boy answered, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much money on the gift. Bad. Another boy said, responded, what gift? Yeah. Yes. Have you heard a story like this? Now that my father is a grandfather, he just can't wait to give money to my kids. But when I was a kid, and I asked him for 50 cents. Yeah, he would tell me how when he was 7 years old, he had to get up at 4:30 in the morning and milk 90 cows with his tiny hands. He had to walk 12 miles to school and so on and so on. But now, every time he comes to my house, he tells my kids, well, let's see how much money old grandpa has for his wonderful grandkids. Or we might say, for his life-saving grandpa. Yeah. It came across an article here that says, the world according to dad. The world according to dad. It's a list of things that dad often say. You ready? Here's what dads often say. Why should you do that? Because I said that's why. Do you want me to call your mother? Oh, just wait, you have kids of your own. I hope one are just like you. Oh, my, last Father's Day, my son gave me something I always wanted, the keys to my car. Mercy, mercy. The article also listed some things that children say. One reads, if a mother is laughing at the father's jokes, it means we have company. Being a father can be wonderful and interesting, sometimes a trying experience. So we are here today to remember that the Lord says about our earthly fathers, and we want to honor you, our fathers. Thanks, dads. Thanks for being a life-saving dad. A dad that loved me in every way he possibly could. And dads are that way. Thanks, dads. Thanks for material possessions. Hey, dads, thanks for faithful instruction. Dads, thanks for godly illustrations. Yeah. My dad was a life-saving dad. He saved me the day I was born. You know? He walked in the hospital and took me out. That same day, he adopted me. He saved my life. He put clothes on my back, food on the tables, supported me in sports, kept my car running smoothly. He was a leader in the Boy Scouts when I was a Boy Scout. He helped me learn how to re-roof a house. Yeah, that's my dad. He was great. He was a faithful worker, showing good work ethics and showing how hard work is good for the soul. Yeah, that was my dad. Thanks for life-saving provisions. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. Wow. It's powerful. Families are families because they depend on one another. And they help each other as this time comes. Need. Today we are specifically focusing and concentrating on Father's Day today and the duties of fathers. If a father does not provide materially for his family, food, clothing, shelter, then he has denied the faith of Christ and he's worse than the unbelievers. Why? Why is he unfaithful? Because unbelievers provide for their children. Unbelievers put a roof over their head and food on the table. So fathers who are Christians should not hesitate, but do so too. It's a picture of my dad. And that's my oldest son. That's Timothy, those who might know him. And that is my dad's little dog he had. My dad passed away in 1976. He was only 63 years old. Were he alive today, he'd be 110. Yeah. He and Mom moved from Ohio to California. They lost their first son, as I said, and Mom was told that she would never have children again after that. And they adopted me shortly thereafter that. We lived in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, Dad was a mechanic and owned a shop in Santa Monica right on the coast. I remember going out there on the coastline and seeing the ocean, and just, it was beautiful. Had the shop right there. World War II broke out, and after Pearl Harbor was attacked, Dad rushed down to join the Army to fight for our country. The recruiting station wouldn't take him because the work he did in that city, keeping the yellow cabs running, was too valuable to the city, and he had a contract keeping the city cabs functioning in the L.A. area. That was his job, and they wouldn't let him join the service. Next, the Depression hit. It was tough. I was told that Dad would go out into the black market sometimes just to get chicken so there'd be meat on our tables. Growing up, we always had a roof over our heads, enough to eat. He worked long hours trying to give us some of the things that he never had. It never occurred to my father, never occurred to my father, that government should take care of his family. Later, Mom had two daughters. Surprise. Yeah, Dad raised us children to be hardworking, patriotic, good citizens. Did my father provide for me? I honestly do not remember missing out on anything. I would easily call my dad a life-saving dad. What about your dad? Did he provide for you? He probably did. And you need to thank him for it if he's still alive. Or at least give thanks to God for what God has done for us. We are the spiritual children of our Father in heaven. You know? Thanks for the faithful instruction. The New International Version, Ephesians 4:6, reads this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Yeah. Common English Version reads this. He says, parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them properly. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. And the Living Bible says, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up in a loving discipline of the Lord himself approves. Yeah. Therefore, fathers are to instruct their children about many things and thus giving children a set of values. I can remember my dad was, like I said, was one of the leaders in Boy Scouts. And I can remember one time that my dad and our troop were out camping in the woods, and in the middle of the night and sitting there by the fire and getting ready to go to bed. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, I heard this horrible, horrible, horrible loud scream like some lady was being killed. My dad just looked at me and said, "Don't worry, it was just a mountain lion." "Don't worry, okay?" "It's just a mountain lion." As a family, we would go camping. Oh, I love this. A lot. We went camping a lot. I remember as a preteen, we'd go camping out up at Johnsville in California, and we camp out and at the big meadow there, the river going by, and Dad and I would get up early in the morning. It's about daylight, and we'd hit that river, and we'd start fishing. And we'd hike up through around boulders and waterfalls, and we'd fish going up the mountains until we got up to Grass Lake. And the thing was interesting, when we got up to Grass Lake, both my dad and I had our limit, 15 trout each. What do you get now, 5? Yeah, 15 trout. It's fun. I remember we did that every summer for years. When in high school, Dad attended every football game, every basketball game, every track meet that I was involved in, always supporting me, always encouraging me, always. Never telling me how to do anything different, just encouraging me. Of course, the highlight of my life, and so you've heard this many times probably, because this is a highlight of my life, my dad was when I bought my first car as a junior in high school, 1948 Ford convertible. Yeah. Robin Egg Blue with a white top. V8 engines with 3/4 race cam. 3 carburetors with progressive linkage. I was the envy of the other students. Whew! It was something else. And my dad kept that car running smooth all the time. All the time. I would love to have that car today. I never see one. But if I found one, I'd probably buy it. Yeah. I hate to say this, but that car is more valuable to me than all Kimmer's antiques. All his old car. It was a great car. I loved it. So, dads, here's a question for you. Are you a coach or a critic? That's important. Are you a coach or a critic? If you're a coach, you're a life-saving dad. Looking again at the first part of Ephesians 6:4, in the Living Bible, Paul says, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Don't do that. Here's a sad confession of one father. I took my children to school, but not to church. I taught them to drink, but not of the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not be a fisher of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. I taught them that church was full of hypocrites and made the greater hypocrite of them me. I gave them a color TV, but not a Bible. I hand them the keys to the car, but not the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I taught them how to make a living, but failed to bring them to Christ, who alone can make a life. Paul said to the Corinthians, who were his children, Paul said to Corinthians, who were his children of faith, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Notice what Paul did not say. Paul did not say, do everything I do. He didn't say that. Follow my example. He didn't say that. He said, do everything I do which is in Christ Jesus. Everything is Christ-like. Follow that example. Follow the example of Christ. Paul wasn't perfect, and friends, neither are you and neither am I. We're not perfect. There are things that I've done in my life that I do not want my children to do. I'm sorry for when I have given them some bad examples. I've also done some good things. I've done some godly things, some Christ-like things, which I hope they will copy from my life. The most important thing that I hope they copy is I love people. I love you as a congregation. I want them to learn to love. Love people. I often say to my wife, to my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, often say three simple words. I love you. Yeah. I tell them how truly beautiful they are. A preacher told a story of his youth. He said, once when I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets to the circus. Finally, there was only one family between the ticket counter and us. The family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. Their well-worn clothes indicated that they did not have a lot of money, but their clothes were spotless and pressed perfectly. Well-behaved, they were standing in line behind the parents, holding hands 2 by 2. They were excitedly jabbering to one another. You could tell about the clowns, the elephants, the other acts they would get to see that night. One could sense that they had never been to a circus before. Never been to a circus before. Amazing. It promised to be a highlight of these young lives. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing there proudly, holding their hands also. And the mother was looking at the father as if to say, you're my knight in shining armor. So got to the counter. Oh, I see what happened here. And the father leaned a little closer and he asked how much it cost to get tickets for 8 kids and his wife and himself. The lady quoted the price. At that point, Mom dropped hold of Dad's hands and just looked down. Yeah, the man's lips began to quiver. The father leaned a little closer and he asked, how much did you say? The ticket lady responded again. The man obviously did not have enough money. How was he supposed to turn and tell his 8 kids that he didn't have enough money to take them to the circus? Seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, dropped it on the ground and picked it up, tapped the man on the shoulder and said, I think you dropped this. The man sensed what was going on. While not begging for the handout, he certainly appreciated the help in a desperate, heartbreaking, embarrassing situation. He looked straight in my dad's eyes, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed it tightly with the $20 bill, and with quivering lips and a tear streaming down his cheek, he replied, thank you, thank you, thank you. It means so much for my family. Man telling a story about his father said, my father and I went back to our car and drove home. We did not go to the circus that night. But we did not go without. What a father that man was. What a godly illustration of what Christ has done for us. Thank God for life-saving fathers who have been godly illustrations and godly examples to follow. Another heartwarming story about saving fathers. One man said, "When I was a teenager, Dad would come to my room and say, 'Come on, kid, let's go.' 'Where to?' 'Lucy's.' Once a month, Dad would visit Lucy Jones, and a woman whose body was twisted and pinned to a wheelchair with arthritis. He'd reach in his big arms around her frail body, lift her up out of the wheelchair, and place her in the front seat of the station wagon. And then he'd fold the wheelchair and throw it in the back and drive Lucy to the monthly communion service at the church for shut-ins. Later, Dad, while in the hospital, trying to recover from a massive heart attack, found out the family down the street did not have enough money to buy groceries. So he writes out a check. The last check he ever wrote. Because he never got out of the hospital. He died. What a great illustration of Christ was that father. Life-saving fathers. Fathers who care deeply for their families and for others. So I close with this fifth commandment again. Honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the only commandment with a promise, that thy days may be long upon the land. And that's why our nation existed today, long term, teaching that our existence is of being dependent upon honoring our parents. Of all the duties to one another, the first and the most fundamental duty is towards our parents, Dad and Mom. The days at the root of all our social relations and is the first relationship to which we naturally become conscious is honor, reverence, and obedience that are due to our parents for the position to which they stand to their children, as a sense, a certain sense, our parents are authors for our being. Our parents are our shelters and nourishers. Our parents are our protectors and educators, from whom we derive the foundation of their moral training and the first elements of our knowledge. Even among savages, the obligations of children towards their parents are great. You ever thought of that? Even among savages. There's never been a civilized community whose moral code, whose duties to parents were not an important part. The divine legislation is in full accord with the voice of reason and conscience, affirming broadly the principles of parenthood. So Father's Day is when we celebrate the part of our fathers for what they played in our families and in our society. So I beg you, if you have never done it, honor your father. Thank your father if he still is alive. Pray for your father if he was not a good father. pray for him and forgive your father. Forgive him. Today, I want to thank each and every one of you for being life-saving fathers. So I've asked two ladies if they'll stand. One is Susan. Who's the other one? Colleen back there. And we have a gift for all you fathers. But I promise you, it's not flowers. So they're going to pass out the gift. They're going to pass out the gift. And you each will get a package of Lifesavers. I got one, yeah. And if we run out, I think we got plenty, but if you run out, and you don't get one, you let us know, and I'll get more money from Holly, and we'll get you some Lifesavers. And if you're father-to-be, you can have a, how about that? That'd be a good one, too. If you're father-to-be. Now, you have to be married. I mean, boys, I'm sorry. This is not for you. This is for your dad. Isn't this great? I'm standing up here, not saying anything. Just enjoying watching the smiles on your faces. Happy Father's Day tomorrow. Let us pray, okay? Father God, I just thank you so much for fatherhood. I thank you for my father. You gave me such a great dad. I thank you for giving us children that I could experience what it's like to be in a father. And I thank you for all these fathers, Father. Bless us. Bless us. Help us to be the father that we need to be. May your Spirit move our hearts daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.